Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dog's damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Loogie. Phone number to call is 888-808-1019. We're going to re-examine what Aaron Judge had to say when he met the media yesterday. But let me first off by saying I think the Yankees have had a bad offseason. I graded it a C+ about 2 weeks ago, and I think I was being an easy grader. It's more like a D. And they ran it back. And they can, they being Cashman or Boone or any of the players on the team, they could try to sell to everybody that running it back was the right thing to do and the Yankees were this close last year. Nonsense. The Orioles improved. The Red Sox improved. The Blue Jays went to the World Series. And the Yankees sat back and did virtually nothing except run it back. And what gets lost in this, because it happened so quickly, was the Trent Grisham situation where he accepts the qualifying offer and now becomes a massive roadblock for players like Jason Dominguez, who's going to start the season in the minor leagues. Spencer Jones, another guy that's getting roadblocked, he's going to start the season in the minor leagues. The Dodgers, back-to-back champs. They didn't rest on their laurels. They didn't say, we're good. In fact, we're great. We're the standard. The Dodgers signed the best closer in baseball and one of the best offensive players on the market. While the Yankees sat around and did nothing, especially early, much to the chagrin of Aaron Judge. So I think the Yankees have had a very poor offseason. And about a month or so ago, when Bellinger was still out there, that was a must signing. If they didn't sign Bellinger because of the amount of time they waited to get that deal done, remember, they didn't even offer him anything until what? Middle of December? Months after the season? And I thought that was peculiar. And then I heard Aaron Judge yesterday speak. And I obviously had the take of, hey, Judge is frustrated. He doesn't think this was a good offseason. He is mad that another year of his prime could be wasted. Aaron Judge and this era of Yankee baseball, he will have the harshest criticism, more than Cashman, more than Boone, if this team doesn't win a championship. The other players on the team can come and go, and if they don't win, it's whatever. But this is Aaron Judge's team. This is about his legacy. This is about him being compared to the legendary players that have played for the Yankees. Ruth, Mantle, DiMaggio, Gehrig, Jeter, Rivera, etc. And if you finish your career, I don't care how many home runs you hit, I don't care how many MVPs you win, if you have zero rings as the star of stars on the Yankees, it is a massive disappointment. Massive. And I think Aaron Judge, who usually toes the line, usually says all the right things, for the first time, maybe in his career, actually said what was on his mind. Now, he ended up talking out of both sides of his mouth, which we brought up yesterday, and we're going to play the clip for you again if you missed it, or if you just, you know, forgot every word he said, because there was one thing that I got to admit, it kind of slipped through the goalie on me. I let one through the crease on that because when I first heard it, it didn't register. But when I was laying there last night thinking about, you know, a lot of things, how great I am, how great the show is, how After Hours is the premier show for breaking news on WFAN, it clicked. I said, I can't believe I missed this. So here it is again, if you missed it. Aaron Judge from yesterday, down in spring training, talking about the Yankees off season.
It was brutal.
You know, I'm like, I see a lot of free agents out there. I see a lot of guys that, you know, like the Bellingers, the Grishams, the Goldschmidts, like, yeah, let's sign these guys right now and then start adding more pieces, you know, because I'm seeing
stop it, stop it, stop it. Cody Bellinger is not a Yankee unless Aaron Judge stepped in and said something. Listen to that. He was like, Bellinger's out there. Why aren't we signing him? Paulie, if you can, play it again from the top when you get a second. Give me the cue. We're going to play it again from the top. Here it is.
It was brutal. You know, I'm like, I see a lot of free agents out there. I see a lot of guys that, you know, like the Bellingers, the Grishams, the Goldschmidts, like, yeah, let's sign these guys right now and then start adding more pieces, you know, because I'm seeing other teams around the league get better. They're making trades. They're signing big prospects.
Dodgers, Mets, Red Sox, and, Orioles, you know, teams you're competing with.
We're sitting there for a while, you know, kind of making smaller moves. But, you know, it was tough there in the beginning, but I think once we solidify getting Bellinger back, you know, we got Trent being our center fielder, be our leadoff guy for another year. And then you had a guy like Goldie, some of the back end, you know, bullpen pieces that we've been doing. I think we're being in a good spot, but the early on it was pretty tough to watch. I'm like, man, we're the New York Yankees. You know, let's go out there and get the right people, get the right pieces to go out there and finish this thing off, because we got a special group of players here. We got a good core, a good young core. So, yeah, it was frustrating.
Now pay attention to this part coming up.
I think we're right where we need to be.
Did you express any of that to them?
Yeah. But they took care of business. And I voiced my opinion about a couple of guys, and, you know, Bellinger being one of the guys that he just adds a dynamic to this team that, you know, we've been missing for quite a few years. So excited he's back.
So there you go. Bellinger is not a Yankee unless Aaron Judge says something. He had to go to whether it's Cashman or upper management and say, what the heck are we doing here? This offseason has been a nothing burger. You got teams around the league making moves. Dodgers, Orioles, Blue Jays, Mets. All these teams that we compete with are being very active, and we're doing nothing. It wasn't until December that we found out the Yankees had made an offer to Bellinger. Yeah, because Aaron Judge called them and said, what are we doing? Why are we sitting on our hands this offseason? It's almost as if the Yankees had no intention on bringing Bellinger back. Until the captain picked up the phone and said, I don't know if you realize this, but the baseball offseason has started. And we can't sit around and do nothing. Everybody's doing something, we'll do nothing. And the frustrations that you hear from Aaron Judge there are, I think, a player who is entering his season, turning 34. 6-7 more years left in the big leagues. 3 or 4 in his prime. I think that's very fair to say that. And his legacy will be measured by championships. Like, there will be the arguments, is Aaron Judge the single greatest player in the history of the Yankees? Meaning, the best baseball player. Not the championships, just the player, the numbers. That will be a conversation that's had on this radio station when he hangs it up. He's that great. But if there are no championships, there will be many Yankee fans, non-Yankee fans, that will always bring up the fact that he didn't win. These are lesser players to Judge. And I love Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing is one of the greatest players of my lifetime in terms of teams I rooted for. I love Patrick Ewing. Bottom line is, Patrick Ewing wasn't even the best center when he was in the league. But Patrick is one of the great New York athletes of all time. Didn't win, though. And that kind of sticks with you. Henrik Lundqvist, one of the great goalies, certainly of his generation, didn't win. That sticks with him. Judge, to me, is superior to both of those players. And that's not a knock against them. It's just how great Judge is. And if he was a Pittsburgh Pirate, wouldn't matter. if he was an Arizona Diamondback, wouldn't matter or wouldn't matter as much. Think about it with Barry Bonds. Think about it with Ken Griffey Jr. It almost would take you a second to remember if they won or not. By the way, neither one did. But when you're a Yankee, it's remembered. It's talked about. So I see a situation here when I re-listened to that audio and I really, really dissect it for the 12th time that I listened to it. It almost comes off like the Yankees weren't going to do anything and they weren't going to bring back Bellinger. But the captain called up and said, what are we doing? I want these guys back, starting with Bellinger. Let's go. So it's twofold. What was going to be the Yankees' plan if they weren't going to bring back Bellinger? And if you're upset with them running it back, well, Judge wanted them to run it back. And he's right about Bellinger. I'm not sure about the other pieces, but Bellinger, he's right about. The Yankees could have been in on Edwin Diaz. They could have been in on Pete Alonso. They could have been in on Bo Bichette. They could have been on Peralta. And when Judge says, we're the New York Yankees, that's it. There's no other way to interpret that line other than the standard that this franchise has set through decades and decades and decades of we are the premier spot for the star players, for championship teams. And in some ways, Judge is like, okay, where is my Robin to my Batman? And if he believes that's Bellinger, well, they got the guy that he wanted to be his Robin. But if he didn't say anything, Bellinger could have easily went somewhere else. And then I wonder what the spin would have been. And make no mistake when you hear my voice, the Yankees are winning 89 to 93 wins. 89 to 93 games they're going to win. Because what, they win 94 last year? That's my projection. I think that's a fair projection. I'm not taking anything away from what they're going to do in the regular season. I'm not taking anything away from them potentially winning the division, although I do think it's very much up for grabs. I would not be stunned at all if the Orioles are this year's Blue Jays. That's a team with a strong, young core of players that added Alonso, that added Chris Bassett, that started spending the money that they have from their ownership. The Blue Jays, even if they take a slight step back, are still going to be in the mix. The Red Sox only got better this offseason. And I don't think they're going to win the division, but Tampa gets to go back home, which will make them more comfortable, and the Trop is a home field advantage for them. So I think the division as a whole is going to be better than it was last year, and it's wide open. And the Yankees didn't do enough to grab the brass ring in the offseason. That's why it's been a topic. That's why every player that's down there, Stanton was asked about it today. We will play that audio for you coming up in a little bit. But to me, Aaron Judge comes off like a frustrated guy. And I wonder out loud, if he didn't make that phone call, would the Yankees have done anything? Because their delay of the Bellinger stuff really stunted their offseason in terms of the timeline of signing players because they got wrapped up in that. Ultimately got it done. I mean, they had to. Because if the Bellinger thing fell through, by the time that was over, they would have been left with next to nothing in terms of players to acquire. And even if you're not on the strong end of being upset about them running it back, you would have been extremely upset if Bellinger wasn't here. And even though you like him as a player or whatever, Harrison Bader would have been your outfielder or your big offseason acquisition. It would have changed the entire tone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. By the way, coming up, and we're going to play the audio of the phone call that I had with Paul and Yonkers last night, where we were fighting about the Mets offseason. I think there's a portion of the Mets fan base that isn't over Pete Alonso leaving. And we are a month or so from opening day. So it's one of those situations where I feel like I need to be the guy to open up the platform here for Met fans that are feeling that way to call up, and I am going to help you get over the Pete Alonso situation. Paul and Yonkers yesterday wanted to have Mrs. Met in left field. Now, I don't know what her run prevention statistics are, but that's where the state of mind is for some Met fans. They can't get over it. It was sign Pete Alonso and do nothing and we'd be happy. So if you are in that camp throughout the night, and I got you till midnight, call up and I will help you, just like I helped Yankee fans last year that were getting over the seven stages of Soto grief. Some of you are still in that camp, but you don't want to take my help. I'm here for that. Kind of now the same boat, but with Alonso. You know, you're going through the seven stages of Alonso grief. So much like I help helping Yankee fans, I will help you, my fellow Met fans. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jim in New Hyde Park. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. How are you, buddy?
Good. What's up?
Glad about your new show. I think you're a Yankee hater. Hey, I called you during the day, too, a few times. Anyway, I wanted a rebuttal on your, this is why I don't think they're running it back. I'll say it quick.
Okay.
Worst bullpen. Now you have them. Jazz out 6 weeks. He would have been a 40-40 guy. Many plays did play a full season. No Cole, no Schmidt, no Lewis Hill. Hurt and you know, he was bad and got back.
Mm-hmm. Cam Schuller in his first full year here. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys missing.
Do you trust their offense in October?
I trust their offense because I like the kid, Caballero.
You like Caballero, okay. Do you trust their offense 1-9 to be clutch in the postseason?
It's hard to say, but I like their pitching.
Well, I mean, based on...
maybe they're going to hold everyone else down, you know?
Yeah, but when you get to October, you have to, 1-9, get clutch hits. You have to change
your
style.
When they walked to the Dodgers scored one more run than them. You know?
What happened last year when they played the Blue Jays? They had Juan Soto on their team. They don't have Juan Soto anymore, and Stanton was on a heater. You can bank on every October.
I love that Soto went to the Mets. I was one of those Yankee fans that wanted six plays with that.
Jim, this team wasn't good enough last year. What makes you think
they won 94 games without all this? But all the stuff going on, that's why.
They lost
in
the second round.
And they traded nine catches. They say the Yankees have no plays.
But they lost in the second round.
Nine catches. There's nine teams in baseball with Yankee catches. You want to hear them?
No, I don't. I want to hear you tell me. I don't want to hear about the catchers that are on the other teams, Jimmy. I want to hear.
No,
I don't know what you're saying. I want to hear. Okay.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know.
You guys all knock their minor league system.
I'm not knocking anything. But if I were to, I would knock their philosophy when it comes to their approach at the plate. I think Anthony Volpe is a perfect example of that. Anthony Volpe profiles Jim.
I want to get rid of him. Help me. Get
Jimmy,
rid of him,
Jimmy, I love you. But just do me a favor. When I talk, don't talk over me, and I'll try not to talk over you. That way we can have a conversation here. So I'm going to ask you the question again. Do you think... or do you trust this Yankee offense come October?
Yeah, because I think at the trade deadline, they'll fix whatever they need. I want the pitching to kill everyone. I want the Yankees to actually get Joe Ryan. He has the same strikeout rate is.
Jim, you just said they have this great rotation, and now you need to add another pitcher? Do you trust the offense in October to get clutch hits, Jim?
They're going to get hits. Trust me.
Well, I it's hard to trust because they haven't done it. I mean, good luck at parties listing all the catchers in the minor league system that were Yankees that are on other teams now. That's a good conversation starter. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Andrew in Belmar. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Tommy, how are you? First of all, two nights in a row that you're already getting angry before 7:30. I love your show.
Well, let me give
you
this.
You got to try to keep it.
Anthony, I'm very gassed up today. There's a lot of things going on in the Lou Gower personal life that I'm just like ready to like scream and yell about, which I probably carried over into the show. And I may get into a few of them as we get going here. So I'm a little gassed up tonight. I will admit that. So I'm
also,
a little bit on that.
Last night at 7:20, also you blew up. But you're amazing. Don't worry. I love you. Prime time. It's great.
That was Paul and Yonkers. We're going to play back that audio because I think Paul represents a lot of Met fans. And I want to open up the platform here for Met fans to call up and sort of air their grievances about Pete Alonso no longer being here. That way we can get over it and move on as a society and as Met fans.
Yeah, that poor guy from last night, he was off his rockers. You were 100% right. He was just sad about Pete Alonso. He wasn't talking rationally at all. I agree with you 100%. And I like the Mets. I'm a Yankee fan, but the Mets are like my second to best team. My dad's a Mets fan. I love the Mets. But about the Yankees I was calling, I just wanted to say that I don't see, even if we make it to the World Series, I don't know how our offense is gonna win against the Dodgers. Because our offense, like you said, our approach is just like, I don't know.
Yeah, it works in the regular season. It works really well. And I always kind of say it's like this bully sort of, hey, it's 3-1, it's 6-1, it's 10-1, it's 15-1. But when you get to October and the pitching gets better, you kind of have to change that approach. And like it or not, it does start with Judge, who did have a good series against the Blue Jays, but he did not have a great series. He did not wreck that series like Vlad Jr. wrecked the series in the favor of the Blue Jays. So he has to be, it just is the way they're set up, he's got to be Superman. He can't be, you know, Aquaman. He's got to be the top guy, and he just hasn't been consistently in October. So it starts with him, and then you need Rice. You need Jazz. You need Volpe. You need Wells. You even need contributions from McMahon and Grisham. Those guys have to get clutch hits in October. As great as the rotation is, the offense has to answer the bell.
Yeah, like on the Yankees, I think about it, everyone except for Judge on offensive level, a lot of other top-tier teams, their second, third, or fourth player would be significantly better than our second guy.
Yeah, because right now, oh boy, if you're getting October Stanton, he's your second best, but I think like Bell to Bell or sort of, you know, whatever, however you want to phrase it, Bellinger is your second best player.
Yeah, but they're not amazing, especially like under pressure, you know, they're not great. Judge, and also Judge, like you said, in the postseason, his record's terrible.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't trust Judge in the postseason.
And that's kind of my point here is that your best player is tough to trust when the lights are the brightest. So if that is the case, then you better have surrounded him with players that could pick up the slack. When they made the World Series a couple years ago, Soto and Stanton in October picked up the slack for Judge and quite frankly carried him to the World Series. He doesn't have those players around him anymore in terms of like star power as a Soto. Stanton you do, but year in, year out, is he always going to be there in October? I'll say this. The fact that he's done it so much and he's one of the best postseason performers in Yankee history, I'll give you Stanton. But then they need a third, fourth, fifth guy. Like the Dodgers don't just beat you with Ohtani. They don't just beat you with Betts and Freeman. They have Hernandez. They have Smith. They have both Hernandez, Teoscar and Kike Hernandez. Like they are so loaded top to bottom that the Blue Jays were like that last year, Andrew. Even though they didn't have the household names, that entire lineup was just a bunch of gamers. And that's why they got to the World Series.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm just curious, what's your take on the Mets this year? What do you think they're going to be like this year?
You mean in terms of a win total or like what exactly?
Yeah, like win total, postseason, where do you think they're at?
I like them for, and I appreciate the call, not an unofficial one here, so you're putting me on the spot. I like the Mets for 92 wins. 92 wins. And I'll give my full sort of Met map and road as we get closer. But I didn't want to totally blow off your question there. And I said, for the Yankees, 89 to like 93. And if you look at their win totals, Vegas agrees with me. The Yankees are around 90 and a half. I think they're over under. Mets are 90 and a half. I think they're right about the same. Now, as much as I think the AL East has improved, I think the Orioles have improved. Plus, a couple years ago, they were looking like the future of the division. Or when I say the future, meaning the stiffest competition for the Yankees. Because the AL East is the Yankees division year in and year out. It is. The Red Sox have gotten better. Tampa going back home now, getting to play their home games at the Trop. They'll be improved from last year. And they always can be a thorn in the Yankee side. Now, I look at the NL East. Philly, I believe, will regress. Now, they're not going to fall off a cliff. But I think they're going to take a step back. There's only so many times you could be bridesmaids. There's only so many times like your players are getting older and older and older. I mean, Dombrowski already came out and said he doesn't think Bryce Harper will ever be elite again. Now, that could be motivation, and I'm sure Bryce didn't take that kindly. In fact, I know he didn't because he talked about it this week and was like, what the heck, essentially, paraphrasing. Marlins are interesting. I wonder if they trade off players, though. So if they do, but they're spunky. Nationals are probably still a couple years away from competing. And the Braves, every year it feels like, oh, it's Atlanta, Atlanta. And injuries have kind of bit them in the ass for the last couple years. But if fully healthy, they'll compete. For sure. I just think there's more question marks in the NL East than there are in the AL East. Like, I feel pretty strongly about the team, including the Yankees, as far as regular season. Nothing I'm saying or has said is any indication of them having a bad regular season. Like, if you were ever to bank on anything in sports, like, the easiest thing to bank on in sports across all four major sports is the Yankees winning in the regular season. They're as steady as it gets. But steady doesn't always win the race. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Kyle in Holbrook. It's Positive Tommy here in Primetime After Hours. What's up, Kyle?
Primetime Positive Tommy. You're doing what you do best. You're killing it. But, you know, I'm a Mets fan here. I'm gonna answer some of your Yankee points since that guy Jim couldn't answer a question if you hit him over the head. When it comes to the Yankees lineup, year out, year in, you're saying it right. They prove it. They hit in the regular season. They beat up on bad teams. They're going to knock it out of the park and good stuff like that. But the minute they face some good pitching and stuff, the lineup has too much swing and miss. It's too much up and down. And, you know, good pitching, good defense wins in October. That's why they got defeated in the second round. And the other big part to that team is staying healthy. Look, their arms are great. The other guy, Jim, wanted to get Joe Ryan. For what reason? You're already locked and loaded, but it's health. But Kyle, my thing was this.
If he wanted to add another pitcher, I'm totally okay with that. But he, But his first thing that he said was to talk about how great the starting rotation is, and then he wanted to add a pitcher like at the end of the conversation. Yeah. Answer the question of whether or not he trusts the offense to hit in October, which is a massive, massive, massive question mark. And they haven't proven that year in and year out.
It's the same question every year. You're hitting it on the head, especially if you don't got, you know, the Greek goddess of Giancarlo Stanton in the playoffs for them. But, look, we're Mets guys. We understand what's up with the Yankees. Look, it's a lock. They're probably, there's like a 90% chance they'll make the playoffs. Yes. They always friggin' somehow figure it out.
Of course. Absolutely.
But with the Mets, and the Pete Alonso stuff, I've gotten over losing Pete. Love Pete, whatever. Great pop and whatever. But also on his baseball card, he's up and down through his career as well. So what do? We go out, we add some postseason performers, some guys that put the ball in play, like how we lost to the Royals in 15. Guys who just put, like I said, ball in play, got great stick skills, and then also have proven it. So it's not that bad. It lengthens out our lineup. It's not as much swing and miss and a lot of strikeouts. We had a ton of strikeouts last year. We're actually going to have guys that can get on base now. Yeah, I do wish we maybe could have added another stick, but I do want to see Benj come up, and I want to give Beatty more room because he's shown a good amount too. But it's, for me, it's the rotation. I do expect some good bounce backs. Hopefully, from Mania. There's a reason we signed him for that 3-year deal.
Yeah, Kyle, not to cut you off, but just to tee up even more. When you look at the Mets rotation, they have 3 bounce-back candidates. Obviously, Peterson, especially when you look at the second half, Mania, which you mentioned, and Senga. Now, not saying all 3 bounce back, but if you get 1 out of the 3 to bounce back with McClain, with Peralta, and the guy that no one's talking about, which to me is a good thing because it shows you that he had a good season, nothing to get crazy about, is Clay Holmes. No one's bringing his name up because he had a damn good first year, and I expect him to grow from that first year now being a starting pitcher. You know?
I do too. I just really hope that, you know, and we're also not even looking at the fact of adding Tobias Myers and Christian Scott and maybe Jonah Tong coming up sooner or later as well. Look, you got a surplus. You got some guys that have high ceilings, but the floors, let's not be naive, the floors are there too.
Absolutely.
I got good faith in it. I just hope that, you know, obviously the coaching staff and all works out. These guys actually blend. The bullpen has a little bit of question marks. That's my one sore point on this whole offseason.
Kyle, and I appreciate the call. It's tough to... You can't replace a Gary Bertier. And you can't replace an Edwin Diaz with one player. Nobody's going to suggest that you can. But what you're going to try to do is recreate him with a deep bullpen. Devin Williams, prior to last year, one of the best relievers in baseball. A.J. Minter, been a reliable arm, especially for the Braves. Now, he'll return this year, it sounds like around May. Brooks Raley, who was awesome when he came back from injury last year and has been a good reliever in his career. Luke Weaver, who's had a very interesting offseason so far, or let me rephrase that, the last week or so with Yankee bag gate. By the way, Marcus Semien showed up to Mets camp with a Ranger bag, surely trolling the Mets. It is weird, though, that they don't have other bags, though. I mean, they're rich. I mean, they don't have regular bags to bring. Like, Semien rolls up with the Ranger bag, and Weaver rolls up with the Yankee bag. They don't have just regular baseball bags. They're baseball players their entire lives. They don't have baseball bags. That's kind of like a host when they come here or whatever, and they go, I don't have headphones. Like, what do you mean you don't have headphones? You're a talk show host. How do you not have headphones? What do? You just show up at the radio station hoping they have headphones? Which we do, but still. Where was I? Oh, yes. The bullpen is quite deep. Now, you heard Kyle bring it up, and I mentioned it earlier. If you missed this yesterday, I want to play just a snippet, and WFAN put a clip out of it at WFAN660. I'll retweet it at some point, at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer. This was a snippet from my phone call last night with Paul and Yonkers. What are you talking about? Francisco Alvarez, they brought him up through the system, Paul. He's not a free agent acquisition. No, you don't know. No, actually, you don't know. So don't say you know when you don't know. So you like getting Freddy Peralta? Was that a good trade? Or that doesn't work for you either?
It don't work for me.
Doesn't work for you. He was the NL wins leader last year. He's a 2-time All-Star in the prime of his career, coming off the best season of his life. So that doesn't work for you either. You like Nolan McClain? Does that work for you?
Buddy, he's a minor leaguer. Next.
Okay.
Give me another minor leaguer that you
he's
got.
He's not a minor leaguer when they...
Yes, he is. When, he came up
You know who else is
minor.
A minor leaguer, Paul? Aaron Judge, then! He's a minor leaguer! Bryce Harper's a minor leaguer! Ohtani's a minor leaguer! What are you talking about?
They surrounded a $750 million
bullpen.
You don't
know what you're talking
minor
about.
Minor leaguers.
Paul.
We had guys on third.
So now you don't want to build. You don't want to build a club through your minor league system. You just want to sign a ton of free agents. But then when they signed Bo Bichette, one of the best all-around hitters in baseball, you got a problem with that. So who do you want on this team? Who do you want on the team, Paul? Pete Alonso. Say the name. That's what this is all about. If they kept Pete and signed Mrs. Met to play left field, you would have been happy. Just say it.
Yes, that's right. You don't get rid of the power.
All right, you could cut it off there because my headset went out. Yeah, there it is. All right, fine. So if you feel like Paul, and I love Paul. Paul, feel free to call me back. He always calls me about my cat. I should have probably transitioned after that to talk about the cat, and I have some cat stuff that I'm debating whether I want to discuss.
Loogie!
But that's part of my frustration coming into the show. If you feel like Paul, this is a safe place. And I know a lot of Met fans out there do share that feeling that Paul and Yonkers has, which is they're not over Pete Alonso signing with the Orioles. They're not over the Mets not offering Pete Alonso a contract. And here we are a month or so out before the regular season, and they can't get past that and move on to this year. So I'm going to do my best over the next, you know, 4.5 hours to help those that are like Paul get over the Pete Alonso situation. Let's go to Al in Maplewood, New Jersey. This is After Hours with Positive Tommy in Prime Time. Al, what's going on?
Tommy, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, good. What's happening?
First time getting through, I wanted to talk about your Yankees question.
Of course.
And it's a simple answer for me. I'm a lifelong Yankees fan. I ate Reggie bars every day going to school when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, clutch, no way. And the reason is very simple. If you look at those 90s teams, the ones that actually were doing all the winning, look at the collective team batting average compared to what you're seeing now.
Yeah.
It's a drastic difference.
Mm-hmm.
It was one point where the whole team hit, what, 288. Last year was 251. That was one of the worst years in the 90s for the Yankees.
A lot of gamers on those teams.
A lot of gamers. So we don't have that right now. So without gamers who know how to change how they hit, who know how to hit in a shift, who know
rise
that
to the occasion, Al.
Rise to the occasion.
Get better, get better in the big spots, like the Kike Hernandez of the world. Yep.
I mean, can we make can we mention names? You got Scott Brosh, the Chuck Knobloch. Yep. They're not the stars, but they stepped up.
Even Bernie, who really, as great as he was in the regular season, was even better when he got to October.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what we don't have. So for me to answer that question, nah. We don't have it. And I don't see it right now with what they brought in.
Yeah, and Al, that's why to me you had to change things up. That's why, to me, you can't run it back. You have to change the DNA of the team. Especially when, I don't know how to use a better example. The Dodgers won back-to-back World Series. The entire front office, ownership group, and players could have taken a nap once the season ended, woke up right before opening day, and they would be justified in doing that. Could have hibernated for the winter, but they didn't. The Yankees did, though. They were hibernating for months until Aaron Judge had to say, what are we doing here with the New York Yankees? And once he did that, then all of a sudden, the talks of Bellinger coming back started, and now Bellinger is back on the team. Yeah, because Aaron Judge looked around and said, if we don't have Bellinger, we're in big trouble. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to, it's After Hours, Positive Tommy in Prime Time. Let's go to Yonkers. It's Mark on the fan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Tommy, what's going on, my brother?
What is happening, Mark? What's going on?
Listen, let me say this real quick.
Of course.
When I first started listening to you, I didn't want to listen to you.
I hear you.
And now you are my favorite.
Well, I appreciate that. In many ways, Mark, I think I'm an acquired taste. I've always felt that way. On first hearing of my voice on the air, it's like, geez, does his father own the radio station? He does not, because if my father owned the radio station, I probably would be doing afternoon drive or mornings. I wouldn't be doing night. That's a little joke there. But yes, I appreciate that, though, Mark. Thank you.
You're very funny. I believe you're very funny. You're very entertaining, and you grew on me.
You're good, you. You're good, you. You're good. I appreciate it.
I don't know if you remember me, but you know. You're going to be the king of the radio, but I'll make you king of New York.
You know what, Mark? Anyway. I got to be honest with you, my friend, and maybe this is just my instincts. I feel an enormous butt coming, and not a J-Lo butt, but like a butt with just one T. Is that fair to say? Like you're buttering me up for a massive butt where you tell me I'm an idiot. Is that fair to say?
I'll never call you an idiot.
Yeah.
But 92 wins next year for the New York Mets.
Yeah, that's more of my low-end projection. You know, that's kind of my, like, February positive Tommy projection. I still have a month or so to bump that up a few more wins, but I don't think it's crazy at all when you consider that they won 80. Well, hold on. Go ahead.
Bobitz is going to be definitely your best hitter.
Soto's going to be the best hitter, yeah.
No, never. He batted 260 last year.
Well, come on, he was third in the MVP. That's not fair. You know that. Bo Bichette is a great all-around hitter. Juan Soto is, you know, his own entity. Juan Soto's the best hitter on the team.
Of course, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm angry he left. Why? Mark Kubelik had his best season with the Yankees, and he was happy. And I don't know why he left. I thought that was a dumb move. And he looked miserable last year, and he doesn't get along with Lindor.
No, but hold on a second, Mark. When you say he didn't look happy last year, can you cite one instance where you felt like Juan Soto looked unhappy? Because it's sort of a blanket statement to say he looked unhappy.
Okay.
Is it possible? Mark, before you answer that, and I'll give you the opportunity, I promise. Is it possible that you were just looking through the Yankee-colored glasses when you were seeing that, and you were unhappy seeing him in the Met uniform, so you projected your unhappiness onto Juan Soto?
Not at all. Okay. Remember, I told you, my brother's a big Mets fan. I don't hate the Mets. I root for the Mets.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll tell you where he looked different. On the third out, running in from the outfield into the dugout, he always had a smile and he used to jet. He didn't do that on the Mets.
You don't think he smiled the entire season? I disagree with that. Now, early on, he looked at times... The one that everybody kind of grabbed onto was that early series in Minnesota where he had the hood on. Let me tell you something right now, and I can empathize with that. I hate the cold, too. So he was probably sitting there in right field. Baseball is boring. You sit there, and you stand there. This is baseball in a nutshell. You stand, you sit, you get to the plate, maybe you run, and you go back and sit. And then when you're done sitting, you go back and stand. You look around in the stands to see where the hot chicks are. You think about chewing bubble gum, and you can't wait to get back to the dugout to get some sunflower seeds. And then you sit some more. And then every three innings, you get up from the sitting to go swing a stick. And maybe you run, maybe you walk, and then you go back down and sit. Does that sound exciting? It's not really that exciting.
Juan Solo.
So when you're doing that in 20-degree weather, which baseball is not supposed to be played in 20-degree weather, so the season shouldn't start in March. That's another tangent for another day. Why are we playing baseball in March? How many years do Detroit Tigers have to postpone their games for not rain, for snow? For snow and ice. Start the season later. You can cut some games back. I know we're about to have a CBA. But that was the only time, and it was because he was freezing. And I don't blame him. Positive Tommy, also allergic to wintertime. And I wouldn't want to be standing out in the outfield in Minnesota when it's, you know, 4 degrees outside. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. There's another gentleman I want to hear from. John in Maspeth, our buddy here, calls Evan and Tiki all the time. I go on the Twitter today, and this video that he posted went viral. I didn't click on it, but I'm sure it was the, you know, I love John, but he's kind of like Stillwell and little A League of Their Own. You're gonna lose. That's what he's gonna, you know, I love you, John, but you can need to call me up. You got to explain to me what you put out a video that I know went viral. Like today's news. Like, you know, on Twitter, it's like today's news. And it's like viral video. And I'm like, ah, boy, who is. And it's John Maspeth, of course. Causing trouble, as always. So if Johnny wants to give me a call to kind of go through the video here, I'm sure he's well aware that it's kind of gone nuts. And if it's playable, we'll play it. Because I know John has potty language. And our staff here at After Hours is just quite, you know, let's be honest, not great. Especially tonight with Rosenberg. And I don't want to put him to work where he's got to bleep out curses and do all this stuff. He's got a million things going on back there.
That's so Paul Rosenberg, the glue.
Who already pissed me off before the show started. I mean, just
Paul
absolutely.
Paul Rosenberg, the legend.
Just made me angry because, and he knows the buttons to push. And his delivery, it's not, if you're married, you know this. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Everything is in the delivery. You look fat. I mean, that sounds bad. You look fat, honey. I mean, that's not as bad, right? I mean, so, but it's just the way in which Rosenberg delivers it. So I'm going to California this weekend, to Beverly Hills, to see the in-laws, because it is my nephew's first birthday. Now, this is our, you know, my wife has just one sister, no other siblings. I have no siblings. So this is our only nephew. So it's very important to us. Want to go out there for his first birthday, Beverly Hills. I'm trying to condense the trip as much as humanly possible. So I'm flying back Sunday night, Monday morning. So Rosenberg walks in today with the eating grin on his face, like he does. He just has this way about him that irks me. And he goes, oh, I hope you're back leaving by Sunday to California. And I'm like, no, I'm returning, though, Sunday into Monday. And then I go, why? What's going on? So what is going on, Paul? Why do I have to be out of here by Sunday? I'm going to be long out of here by Sunday, but I need to be back by Sunday night, early Monday morning. What's going on?
Well, can I just say that? I didn't appreciate that impression of me.
And I don't really care. I wasn't looking for your evaluation of my impression.
And you've done better impressions of me than that.
I wasn't looking for an evaluation. I wasn't looking for you to critique my performance.
Snow on Sunday into Monday. Blizzard-like conditions.
What do you mean blizzard-like conditions? What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean blizzard?
The American model seems to feel like there's going to be some heavy snow. The European model seems like it's going to be some rain. It kind of depends on where the lower level trough sets up.
Okay, I don't know what a trough means, but what do you think the European model is better than an American model? We're talking weather here, not long-legged women?
Yes.
Okay.
Most people in the weather space like myself seem to think that the Euro GFS model, the European model, is the one to go by.
It's more accurate.
Yes.
Okay.
The European model predicted Superstorm Sandy. It wasn't the American model, the Euro model.
Okay, so that's their claim to fame.
Yes.
What is your projection for Sunday? Remember, I'm flying back Sunday into Monday morning. I got to be on the air Monday night at 7 o'clock. It's very important to me that I'm on the air.
Because if not, I might be on the air.
Well, I'll be out of a job in that case. I mean, I think they'd rather have, honestly, I think upper management would rather have dead air than you on the air. But that remains to be seen. Maybe we could test that. No, I'm sure, look, if I know there's going to be an issue, I'm giving them the heads up now, but I'll obviously give them the heads up on Sunday. But there's a chance it's rain, though, and it's a no biggie and I could get back?
Absolutely, there's a chance.
Am I going to be stuck in Beverly Hills?
It's too early to tell. It's weather, man.
What do you mean it's too early to tell? I'm leaving on Thursday. I got to know now. Should I cancel the trip? What am I doing? I got to go see my nephew,
though. No, I would not cancel the trip.
I got to go be a good uncle.
I wouldn't cancel the trip, but maybe come back Saturday night?
What do you mean maybe? The birthday is Sunday morning, doofus. So I'm not going out there to then miss the birthday.
Is there a birthday party?
Why would there not be a birthday party when he's turning one and I'm going out there for his birthday? Why would you think there would not be a birthday party?
Where's the party? Is that like a Chuck E. Cheese?
What does it matter? Why does it have to do with any? It doesn't have anything to do with the conversation we're having right now. Am I going to get stuck in California and not be able to make it back Monday night for my show? After hours. Yes or no?
Too early to tell.
Well, when will you know?
Probably be like Friday night.
Friday night? I'm going to already be in Beverly Hills. I'm already be out there. It's going to be 70 degrees. I'm going to be so far removed from what's going on out here. I need to know. I need my weather people to tell me.
Can we do...
You're my weather people.
Can we do a remote from a station out there?
Well, I don't put that in the atmosphere. Let's not throw that in the atmosphere. No, I want to get home. I'll be like bat out of hell to get back here. But I'm only, you know, it can't be like
you can
Home
take the
Alone.
Train.
Home Alone, where I'm getting a ride from John Candy, Sheboygan. I can't have the Polka King.
An Amtrak.
From California?
Yeah.
That takes 6.5 days. You're disrupting the flow of the show, number one. And number two, you're aggravating me. So then I'm going to blow up on another caller. So the reason why, and I don't think I was that bad on the first caller. I'm already gassed up because I'm trying to prepare for the show. First of all, I got to say hello to McMonocle. Jerry, hello. Why do I have to say hello to this guy every day? I see you basically every day. Why? Put me down for hellos from now till eternity. Put me down for hello. I'm preparing for the show. I'm trying to get the music. I'm trying to get topics. I'm trying to do everything that makes After Hours so great. And you walk up to me. Well, I hope you're back in Long Island or New York by Sunday. Well, I'm not, dummy. I'm back Monday morning.
On that note, did you give me the music list? I don't have it with me.
I didn't have a chance to give it to you yet. I was having another issue in here on the computer, so I wasn't able to get to it. There was a couple things that were going on, including stuff with the cat. There's a bunch of stuff, and I'm really... I don't want to air it all out on the air. I really don't. I'll save one of the things that was annoying for me when I get back from the trip, if I get back from the trip on time, which I'm hoping to get back from on time. But this is on you. I'm putting it out there right now. This is on you.
You think I control weather?
No, but you put it in the atmosphere now.
That means nothing.
Okay.
It was going to rain or snow anyway, no matter what.
Well, I can't leave early. I got to be there for the party Sunday morning. So I can't leave early. I can't.
Flight out is Sunday night.
Yeah, it's like a red eye.
So yeah, I'm back like late Sunday night.
Correct. I'm back like 8:30 in the morning on Monday.
So catch an earlier flight.
But if it's snowing on Sunday, the earlier flight, wouldn't it be worse? You're really not a very intelligent person.
Well, it depends on timing.
What timing?
When the snow starts.
When does it start?
It's going to be going on forever because it's going to be snowing throughout the weekend.
Here we go.
Because the snow just doesn't pop up in New York. It's going to be snowing in the Midwest.
I understand.
In the West.
I'm not flying to the Midwest, Paul.
But you're going to be flying through the snow
no
matter what. You're going to
be flying the snow. They're professional pilots.
You can fly around the
snow? Yeah, they could find patches where there's no snow and they could dodge the snow, Paul. I'm flying Sunday, not across the entire weekend.
But there might be other precipitation you'll be flying through. You'll be fine. And if not, the glue is here.
Yeah,
don't worry about
here.
It.
I think, we'll replay another After Hours that night or do something. We're not putting you on the air. I'm making an executive decision. We'll figure it out. I'll let upper management know. They probably are listening now, so they'll know. But I want to make it back. And I can't take this chooch behind the glass, Rosenberg, says, why don't you take an Amtrak? Take an Amtrak? I'll be back by next Friday. I'll miss 6 shows with that genius strategy. Anyway. Sorry about that.
You're my best friend.
I got a little out of order there. I had a little attack on the air there. I apologize to the audience. We will get back on track. I promise. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Yankee fans, you already heard what I feel about the offseason, the Aaron Judge comments. Stanton met the media today. We will hear what he had to say based on what Aaron Judge had to say. It's like a high school. You know, he said, she said, he said, she said. There was a rumor at the bus stop that so-and-so's got cooties and the whole nine. So we'll deal with that. All the drama that's around the Yankee camp right now. And if you're a Met fan like Paul Yonkers, we played the audio earlier, and if you heard it last night, he is not over the Pete Alonso situation. And I think there's a lot of Met fans that share that. So I am here till midnight to help you, the Met fan, my fellow Met fans, get through. You want to call it the seven stages of Alonso grief? We can call it that. But I'm here to help. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's not just a baseball night. We got football. Mike Evans sounds like he's going to play for another season in the NFL. Did you hear that, Joe Shane? Did you hear that, Harbaugh? Let's sign Mike Evans. Plus, if that doesn't work out, I'm going to suggest something that seems so outrageous, but I'm in that kind of mood, and it has to do with the Giants making a trade with a very unlikely team. Plus, Breece Hall. Is he coming back to the Jets? And Mark Cuban says the NBA should embrace tanking. You don't want to miss this. Oh, one more thing. Don't even answer this, Rosenberg. You were supposed to talk to Summers about something today for me. Did you do that? Blink twice if you did. Just say it. Did you talk him or not?
I forgot to ask.
I'm going to yell at you after this. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It's Positive Tommy in Primetime.